What's really amazing about this is this is totally, Diamond Sutra is totally scientific. And it totally is in concert with the theory of relativity. We think time, at least time and space exist. At least time and space. Maybe this desk, you can break it. You can burn it. But time and space exist. Space, because I'm sitting here, I'm in Korea. I'm sitting in the Taejo Kwangjang here at Hwagaesa. Those things exist. This space exists. Time exists. I mean, some things maybe don't exist, but time and space exist. But theory of relativity showed that time and space are created by thinking. They're relative to the viewer. It's exactly Buddhist teaching. I said at the beginning of this chapter, it only exists in relation to your thinking. You say desk, that's desk. You say cheksang, that's cheksang. It only exists in relation to your thinking. That's not just Buddhist teaching. Einstein taught us that time and space, which means this whole universe, because the universe is just time and space, that all time and space is dependent on the viewer. What? The viewer's pinky? What does it depend on? The viewer's pinky? The viewer's thumb? The viewer's watch? No. The viewer's thinking. So the whole universe depends upon thinking. It's the same. That's what's so amazing about Buddhist teaching, is because it's so scientific. Time and space completely come from thinking. So if you call it Adam, that's just a name. It doesn't fundamentally. He already recognized it doesn't fundamentally exist. Time and space don't exist. Name and form have no self-nature. That's a very amazing point. So we say form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Gong juk shi sek, sek juk shi gong. The form of this desk, this form which we see as a desk, actually while we see it right now, it is actually empty. It's fundamentally empty. And yet that emptiness appears as form right now, not later, right now. So while you look at it, you think this is real. You believe the image, the appearance that hits your eye, but it's not there. Because if I take away your eyes, desk also disappears. Touch it, and I'll take away your hands. Take away your eyes and your hands. Where is desk? Maybe you'll put your tongue on it. Well, I'll take your tongue away. It only exists in relation to the sensation you make through mind. That's all. That's fundamental Buddhist teaching. So, looking again. Many indeed, world-honored one. Wherefore? Because if such were really minute particles, Buddha would not have spoken of them as minute particles. For as to this, the Buddha has declared that they are not really atoms. The Buddha has declared that atoms are not really atoms. A tree is not a tree. Sorry, for some of you who've come to Buddhism today for the first time, I have the deep sadness to let you know that a tree is not a tree. A cat is not a cat. Doggy doggy is not a doggy doggy. But don't believe me. Maybe this is just some Buddhist show. So, we have a dog living in this temple. Go up to the dog and say, are you a dog? Really, really, are you a dog? First, hapjang, before temple dog. Because, you know, in the temple we have correct form. Go up to the temple dog, hapjang. All right, hap, denim. Are you a dog? And wait for an answer. Human beings say dog, so that's a dog. Very interesting. Okay? So this chapter is about liberation from that. As to this, the Buddha has declared that they are not really atoms. Minute particles, or atoms, is just a name given to them. Also, world-honored one, when the Tathagata speaks of galaxies of worlds, galaxies of worlds. These are not worlds. For if reality could be predicated of a world, it would be a self-existent cosmos. That means, if a world, if a galaxy, really a thing, a galaxy thing, really existed, it would be a complete form. It would be indivisible. You couldn't take it apart. If it was a complete kind of object with a complete nature, then you couldn't take it apart. But everything that we have, everything can be taken apart. As the Buddha called it, compounded things. Compounded. It's only compounded things. And not just compounded material, it's compounded material and consciousness. Without that, it has no existence. So everything, this microphone, this table, this stick, this book, the sound, all of it you can divide, you can chop it up into little pieces. And if you chop it up into more pieces, you can look at it. And chop the little pieces into more little pieces, and the little pieces, chop them a little bit more. Then there's some little more pieces. Then if you chop it completely, if you, you know, like you're dicing like garlic. If you keep doing it, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Same with a piece of garlic, as with this desk, as with this stick, as with this whole universe. So therefore, if it really was something, then you couldn't divide it into smaller other things, right? If I divide this desk, it becomes just wood. And if I divide wood, it becomes nitrogen, it becomes other things. So it doesn't, it's not itself. It doesn't have a itselfness. If it did, you couldn't divide it. So the same with the universe. If the universe was a thing, you wouldn't be able to divide it. If it had a self-existent nature. Also, world-honored one. When the Tathagata speaks of galaxies of worlds, these are not worlds. For if reality could be predicated of a world, it would be a self-existent cosmos. And the Tathagata teaches that there is really no such thing. Cosmos, or universe, is merely a figure of speech. It's a figure of speech. Calling this universe is a figure of speech. It's all very simple. Then, this is great. Then the Buddha said, Sabuti, words cannot explain the real nature of a cosmos. Words cannot explain the real anything. That's what that means. Words cannot explain the real nature of anything. 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 They can't. Only common people fettered with desire for knowledge are attached or depend upon this arbitrary method of explaining the universe. So a very simple way to demonstrate that. Is this a cup? If you say that this is a cup, if you say that this is a cup, you're attached to name and form. If you say it's not a cup, you're attached to emptiness. If you say it's a cup, you're attached to name and form. Because English, American people say cup, Korean people say chajan or kurut. French people say la tasse. So, if you say it's a cup, you're attached to name and form. If you say it's not a cup, you're attached to emptiness. So how do you explain this? How do you explain what this is? Which words can help you explain what this is? Which words? There's a word out there that can help you explain what this is. so that everybody knows what this is. Because maybe there's some people far in the back who don't know what this is. So somebody, please explain what this is. Which words explain what this is? Which words most completely explain what this is? Which words? Which words? Yes. How to drink? No. Because if you're Korean, you won't understand that. Or if you're Malaysian. Who's going to understand those words? So you don't have live words. You have dead words. If you say cup, that's dead words. If you say how to drink, that's dead words. If you say 물잔, that's dead words. Dead words. How do you explain to somebody what this is? Wow, we probably have about 200 college degrees, 300 high school degrees, 60 years of suheng practice. We have probably lots of... What explains what this is? Correct! Very simple. So, words cannot explain what this is. Buddha's Korean words, American words, Polish words, French words, my words, your words, Buddha's words, Sungsang Kunsnim's words, Songsol Kunsnim's words, all the words you study in the book, the Diamond Sutra's words cannot explain what this is. Buddhas and gods cannot explain what this is when they open their mouth. But already explained what that is. Very simple. So look at this teaching. The Buddha said, Sabuti, words cannot explain the real nature of a bowl. Substitute your word there. Maybe universe is too big of a concept. So, Sabuti, the Buddha said, Sabuti. Words cannot explain the real nature of this thing. Words can't. Because they're limited. They're imprecise, imperfect, stupid. But this can. Okay? So, very, very, very simple. Let's turn to chapter 31. I like this one. Conventional truth should be cut off. Conventional truth should be cut off. Sabuti, if anyone should say that Buddha declares any conception of ego, do you consider he would understand my teaching correctly? No, world-honored one. Such a person would not have any sound understanding of the Tathagata's teaching because the world-honored one declares that notions of self, personality, entity, and separate individuality as really existing are erroneous. These terms are merely figures of speech. Thereupon Buddha said, Sabuti, those who aspire to the consummation of incomparable enlightenment should recognize and understand that all varieties of things in the same way and cut off the arising of views that are mere aspects. Sabuti, as regards aspects, the Tathagata declares that in reality they are not such. They are merely called aspects. So very interesting. Conventional truth should be cut off. So, any teaching that declares a self, any teaching that declares a soul, is fundamentally erroneous teaching by this view. By this view. Because everything is like empty, clear space. Everything is clear like space. So what is not part of that space? How could you say there's a self, an ego, that is separate from anything else? It's not possible. That's like saying space is separate from space. If we look inside this popdang, this dharma hall, and we look outside the doors, it looks like the space is separate. It looks like it. Maybe we close the door. If you close the door, it looks like the space is separate. Take a house with two rooms and a wall. Take a house with a big one room with a wall in the center and a door. If you look at that, it looks like two spaces. But you're a fool if you think that's two spaces. Yeah, in our conventional thinking, that's two spaces. But space cannot be divided. Space cannot be separated. Who has the power to separate space? It's not possible. Even a black hole, which according to physics, would, because it's so intense, so focused that it absorbs time and space, matter, that would seem to suggest that space can be divided, at least in a black hole, right? But you know what they're starting to say nowadays in the last 8 to 10 months? The Buddha already said it, of course, very amazingly. There's a black hole? Because they've never really seen you can't see a black hole because there's nothing there. They're starting to believe that a black hole actually is only dependent on our thinking. Because they've never actually, they've never seen a black hole. A black hole is just a mathematical possibility in space. But there's no photos of a black hole. They say that a black hole is actually, it's not proven in fact. And there are doubters who are beginning to say that a black hole is actually created by thinking. That it really exists only in the minds of those who believe in black hole theory. Of this, those who believe in this possibility. Because there's some scientists who say, no, black holes, they're not there. So if there was a photo, we couldn't have two groups. Point is, space can't be divided. Space can't be divided. So, by the same token, true self is also not, cannot be divided, cannot be separate from something. You say your friend died, is gone. 세상에 돌아갔어요. Left the world. 떠났어요. That's a mistake. Because true nature, this substance, cannot be made into a separate ego, a separate entity, a separate individuality. It's just not possible. And if you don't believe that, just look at space. The space in New Jersey right now, in the home that I grew up in, and the space in this room are not two spaces. It's the same space thing. But walls and separations and from here to there and 10,000 miles are the illusion that there are two separate things. Actually, it's the same thing. And illusion makes us think that they are separate. Just as in the same way that we think that this space and the space outside this room, quote unquote, are separate. In the same way. Einstein taught that to us, that time and space are relative. So whether it's a 5,000, an 8,000 mile separation, or it's a 2-inch separation outside this room, it's the same. Inability to be sliced. Very interesting. So, in the same way should you view this chapter. This is incredible. Amazing. All of it confirmed by particle physics. Sabuti. If anyone should say that Buddha declares any conception of self or soul, a soul, do you consider he would understand my teaching correctly? No. So if you say that there's a soul, and some souls go to heaven, and some souls go to hell, you don't have correct insight into a soul. You have a partial view of a soul. You have a conditioned view of a soul. You don't have true insight into a soul or space, because you think that there is here and there. You don't realize that you're thinking made here. And I say here, here. This watch is here. What do you say when you see this? Where's the watch? There. I say here. Where is it? Huh? There. There. I say here.
There.
Here.
There.
Here. That's the world. That. Here. There. A wrong conception. A wrong insight into the way things are. Thinking makes here. My thinking makes here. Here. That there's a here. And his thinking makes a there and a here. It's just thinking. Only thinking. Very simple. So, if you declare that there is a soul, and that some souls go up, and some souls go down, you don't know a soul. You don't know anything. Because it doesn't work that way. So, the Buddha is very clear about that. If you declare that there is a separate self, a separate soul, you don't understand my teaching. And that was important for the Buddha to say, because that time in India, there was teaching with reincarnation, that there is a something that comes back, yunhe, something that is born low class or born high class. A something that's born here or there. That's why the high class people say, we are here, they are there. And the low class people say, we are here, they are there. That whole idea, when you make a thing, you make here and there. It's just thinking. Time and space are only thinking. Very simple. Very, very, very clear. So, no, world-honored one, such a person would not have any sound understanding of the Tathagata's teaching. Because the world-honored one declares that notions of selfhood, personality, entity, and separate individuality as really existing are false. These terms are merely figures of speech, imshi bangpyeon. They're just figures of speech, me and you. It's just a figure of speech. It's not a real condition or state. Here. See? It's just figures of speech created by thinking. Thereupon, we didn't rehearse this before we got up here. Thereupon Buddha said, Sabuti, those who aspire to the consummation of incomparable enlightenment, those who wish for great enlightenment, should recognize and understand all varieties of things in the same way and cut off the arising of views that are mere aspects, appearances. Sabuti, as regards aspects or appearances, the Tathagata declares that in reality they are not such. They are merely called aspects. So these names are also not names. We just call them names. So it's amazing. It deconstructs this, and it deconstructs the tools it used to deconstruct it. There's no fingerprints anywhere. It's the most absolutely, radically rigorous deconstruction of existence. So, what is a true view? What is true insight? No view. No particular view. No view that you can name or describe. That's a true view. The minute you name it or describe it, call it, label it here. The view of here is not a true view. If you call it here, is the true view. So how do I deconstruct the view of here? How do I deconstruct the view of here? It's now 4:19. Understand? So, true view is no view. Not a here view, a there view, a Buddhist view, a Christian view, a Korean view, an American view, a male view, a female view, a past view, a future view, a religious view, a historic view. All of that, throw it in the garbage. Then what do you see? Just see. What do you hear? Just hear. What do you smell? Just smell. What do you taste? Just taste. What do you feel? Oh, sweaty. That view is not a view of any kind. Okay? So, it's very interesting. In chapter 6 of the Diamond Sutra, he said, throw away the raft. Throw away the raft of my teaching. Throw away the raft. So use this teaching to get to insight, but don't hold this insight, this view. Okay? Very simple. So, now we go to the last chapter of the Diamond Sutra. Last chapter of the Diamond Sutra is also very simple, just like all the other 31 chapters, very simple and clear. Not simple meaning easy, because it's not easy or difficult. It's just simple in that it's geketada. Very simple, very, very, very dansunada. There's nothing, this Diamond Sutra is not, it's not complicated. It's very simple. It's very clear. One point, one point, one point, one point. Very clear. So, this 32nd chapter is just as clear and simple as the other 31 chapters. The delusion of appearances. The delusion of appearances. Sabuti. Someone might fill innumerable worlds with the seven treasures and give all away in gifts of alms. But if any good man or any good woman awakens the thought of enlightenment, Bodhi mind or Bodhi shim, and takes even only four lines from this discourse, reciting, using, receiving, retaining, and spreading them abroad and explaining them for the benefit of others, it will be far more meritorious. Now, in what manner may he explain them to others? By detachment from appearances, abiding in real truth. So I tell you, thus shall you think of all this fleeting world. This is how you should think about this world. Like a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, a flickering lamp, a phantom, and a dream. When Buddha finished this discourse, the Venerable Sabuti, together with the bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, lay brothers and sisters, and the whole realms of gods, men, and titans, asuras, were filled with joy by his teaching, and taking it sincerely to heart, they went their ways. It's beautiful. Beautiful, the way it ends. It's almost cinematic, the way it happens. This great teaching has finished, and everyone is so very happy, and they took it to heart, not to head, but it's the same place. Took it to heart, and then they went their separate way, as we will do in a few minutes. So, very interesting. Again, he uses the theme that he hits on the whole sutra, charity, charity. Charity, charity, charity. Any kinds, as I said at the beginning of this talk. Charity has many forms. Doing things, saying nice things to people, helping them, loving them, being open to them. Many kinds of charity. And if you did even the greatest amount, that's wonderful. But the greatest, greatest, greatest charity is just four lines. Just take four lines of this teaching, of four lines, and make it your own. That's what it means. Take four lines of what this is pointing. Not the lines on the paper. It means take that much of what this is pointing to. Just that much. And you are already a person of greater insight than all of my professors at Harvard and Yale. It's not hard to do. So, it means practice. Doesn't mean take those words here. Oh, in those days, because these things weren't written down so much, there was reciting and memorizing it to remind yourself, to do it. But just take four. Take four lines of any four lines of this sutra. It's that good. It's like a big block of gold. Take four pieces of it from anywhere, and you're still getting gold. So just take of this teaching. Use it in your life, and it's already the highest merit. Because it gets you out of the suffering. What suffering? The suffering based on illusion. Any four lines from this sutra release you from some chain of illusion. Something. More than any therapist will do for you. More than any book. More than anything. If you actualize this, if you actually do it. So, Subhuti, someone might fill innumerable words with the worlds, with the seven treasures, and give all away in gifts of alms, charity. But if any good man or any good woman awakens mind, this bodhisattva, if any good man or any good woman awakens the thought of enlightenment and takes even only four lines from this discourse, reciting, using, that means do it. That means not just understanding it here. That means four lines and doing those four lines. Do it. Receiving, retaining, and spreading them abroad and explaining them. And remember, by the way, the best way to explain the teacup is to not explain it with your ba 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 ba. Explain the sutra with that kind of mind, and you have the highest merit. If you do that, that's the Diamond Sutra's true teaching. Very simple. Very clear. Remember, he said, explanation does not consist in words. Just a few chapters ago. The best way to explain is not to use words. So, and takes even only four lines from this discourse, reciting, using, receiving, retaining, and spreading them abroad and explaining them for the benefit of others, it will be far greater merit, far more meritorious than all of the boshi in the world, except maybe the boshi that you give to the International Zen Center. Now, in what manner may he explain them to others? In what manner? Watch this. In what manner may he explain this sutra to other people? In what way should you do that? By detachment from appearances. By detachment from appearances. Abiding in real truth. Actually, the sutra ends there. The teaching part of the sutra ends right there. Detach from appearances, abide in real truth. That's all. Abide in real truth through your eyes, when you see. Abide in real truth through your ears, just hear. Abide in real truth through your nose, just smell. Abide in real truth through your tongue, just taste. Abide in real truth through your touch. Ooh, sweaty. Ah, that's a cool real truth. Wonderful. Abide in real truth. Detach from appearances. That's how you express the Diamond Sutra. Amazing. This is incredible. It points you how to do it. How do you realize the Diamond Sutra? How do you communicate it to other people? Moment to moment to moment to moment, just do it. That's all. That's the Diamond Sutra.
Very simple.
No words can help you with this. So, I tell you, this is a final kind of lesson to everybody. And remember this. Thus shall you think of all this temporary, fleeting world. You should, if you want to consider what this world is, consider it like a star at dawn. You know, a star in the morning sky. You can't see it. It's there, but you can't see it. There's all this other light around it. A bubble in a stream. This world is like a bubble. Go to the stream outside and look. A bubble in a stream. It just, the water, when it's, the bubbles appear and disappear, 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 appear constantly. Bubbles are appearing and disappearing. They look beautiful, perfectly formed, but they don't last more than a moment. So your world, your Yidongsu world, your Songthon world, your Kwanhengsinim world, my Hyungak world, it's a temporary world. It's like a bubble. It just appears and disappears. Boom. You didn't know why you appeared. Do you remember time before you appeared? No. Just like a bubble. A bubble in a stream doesn't remember what it was before it was a bubble. Then for a moment, it's a bubble, and then it disappears. And then it has no memory of what it was. Like a bubble in a stream. That's what it is. Sorry, it's not any greater than that. Like a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud. I was in Hong Kong a few weeks ago to do some teaching. And in one evening, there were 4,500 lightning strikes in Hong Kong. 4,500. This is about a month and a half, 5 weeks ago. 4,500 lightning strikes in Hong Kong. It was on the front page of the newspaper. In one night. And it's interesting because I went to when I was at Zen Center, I said to somebody, wow, you know, last night they said there was four. I was sitting out on this balcony looking at all the lightning strikes. Wow, 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 look at that one. Wow, look at that one. Wow. Then I went to the Zen Center the next day and I said, wow, everyone, did you see? There was 4,500 lightning strikes. And some people said, what do you mean? I saw one or two. I didn't see anything. 4,500? I said, yeah, they're not possible. I only saw two or three. 4,500. Come on. I showed them the paper, front page. They went, oh my goodness. So this life, we don't even notice. It's like a shot of lightning. You don't even notice it. Appearing and disappearing. A flash of lightning in a summer cloud. A flickering lamp. Yeah? We have lamps like lights here. Not 2,500 years ago. A lamp was a little candle. What he means here is a little candle. If you've ever been in a popdang or a place, you know, we used to be at Shinwansa in Kaeryongsan doing Ango, Hango, and Dongango. And outside there's an altar in front of the pagoda, the soktap, the saritap. And in front of the altar was, in front of the saritap is a, two candles on the altar. And Byeogam Kunsinim always wanted the candles lit. And so some young monk would go out and light the candles and, in the evening, right around evening practice, the candles would be lit. And then pretty soon it would go out, and the little guy would have to run out there and then go back, and then they'd get blown out. Or one of them would stay on, and the other one would get blown out, and they'd be blowing in the wind. And we would just look from the sumpang, this little guy going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I think it was a training that Byeogam Kunsinim was giving to this young monk, because we thought, that's so very strange, why he keeps telling him to light that thing? It's going to get blown out. And it was. He was teaching this young monk about impermanence, how transient it was. He was teaching him the Diamond Sutra. And then the little guy got very smart, and he took two water bottles, and he cut off the top, and he put it on the candle. And then he would light the candle and put it on, so there's this long tunnel, and the wind couldn't blow out the candle. But still, the flame was very fragile, and sometimes it did go out, even though it was very difficult, but several times a day. So the kind of lamp that he's talking about is this very fragile kind of thing that can get blown up. In 1 minute, you can die. In 1 minute, you can go. You don't know if you will live till tomorrow. If we say, let's gather again, this whole group in 3 months, at least one of us will probably be gone. That's what it's like. I'm sorry. One of you. One of us. A flickering lamp, a phantom. Someone was telling me recently they may have seen a phantom. Like that. Doesn't exist. Disappears. It's a momentary thought and a dream. Just like a dream. Doesn't last. This world, this life. You think when you're having the dream, while you're having the dream, in that time period, you think the dream is real. The excitement, the anger, the fear, the doubt, the worry, the confusion. While you're having it, you think it's as real as day. But you wake up and you go, ha, oh, that was so stupid. That was just a dream. Well, you know what? You're having one now. And it's just as unreal as the dream you had last night. When you're thinking. But when you cut off all thinking, you're a Buddha. When Buddha finished this discourse, the Venerable Subhuti, together with the bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, lay brothers and sisters, and the whole realm of gods, men, and asura, were filled with joy by his teaching. And taking it sincerely to heart, they went their separate ways. So it's very beautiful, because at the beginning of the sutra, there were no bhikkhunis. Now at the end of the sutra, it's inclusive of everybody. Bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, everyone is together. Everyone heard it. Was very happy. Maybe you're a little sad hearing that your life is just like a flickering lamp or this world. Don't worry about it. It's actually really good news. Because if you really get it, then you wake up. Then moment to moment, no time, no space, no coming, no going, you're already free. So that is the Diamond Sutra. So thank you everyone for participating for the last several weeks of teaching. And if you ever doubt the meaning of the Diamond Sutra, next time look up in the sky. Many Diamond Sutras flying past teaching you. Thank you, everyone, for your time.